we all had the energy of some of these youngins around here, there ain't no telling what this service would be like. Good grief. Well, it's a blessing. Amen. I love these children. They're a blessing. Good to have them around. Thank God for them. And I'm so glad, I guess, over the past year, over all the small ones, you know, that have come in, it's just kind of grown and grown. We've got a bunch of little two-year-olds and kind of just around that age, two, one, two, and three, and that's a blessing. That's some say that's a future, but I say that's the now. Amen. That's the now. That's the today and the tomorrow of the church. Amen. And that's a blessing. I want to get right into the message tonight. Got a lot of information to cover, and so I want to do our best to cover it all and give it to you. And y'all know me, I never preach very long. But it might be, I want to try to keep it from being any longer tonight. Amen. And so, got about four different places I want you to turn tonight. And so, just turn here into these places and hold your finger. We're going to read through all of them. First place is Revelation chapter 9, verse number 20. Revelation chapter 9. Verse number 20, and hold your finger there, and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Revelation chapter 9, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and hold your spot there at 1 Timothy 4, and then turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Still hear some pages turning. Feel like we're having a Bible sword drill. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6. And then last of all, just a few pages back to your left, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And so that is Revelation chapter 9, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And when you find your place there, you can stand if you're physically able to and would like to. We'll reverence the reading of the Word of God in prayer. I'm going to preach a message tonight that I have preached here before. Had some new folks come in, and thank the Lord for that. And especially these young families, children, I feel that it's very pertinent, and I feel burdened. I believe the Lord's put the burden on my heart to preach and deal with what we're going to deal with tonight, especially considering this time of year and what's coming up next week. The world will celebrate a holiday that they call Halloween. Halloween, that's what it's known as, and the world will celebrate it, and a lot of churches have gotten involved in it, and not just involved in it, but really even promoting it, and bringing it into the church. We're talking in prayer room tonight. There's a church me and Brother Raymond both passed on the way here, and of course they had all their inflatables set up, and they had the parking lot all sectioned off. You can tell they're getting ready for a big Halloween party tonight. And I told Brother Raymond, or I told the men, I said, it's a real blessing. I ain't think about being in church, and they'll have ghosts and goblins and demons running around everywhere. But anyways, I'm going to preach and going to deal with this holiday coming up known as Halloween. And the title of the message, I've given it the title, The Fingerprints of Satan, Christians and Halloween. Because Halloween is unlike any other holiday that we celebrate. Now, you could say, well, Brother Jacob, pretty much every holiday that we celebrate, Christmas, Easter, you know, about all of them except for Thanksgiving, have got some type of pagan background and pagan history, pagan roots. Really, they do. And y'all have heard me say it every time we come around Easter. I always make the statement that really every Sunday is Easter for old-time Baptists. Amen. We come together on the first day of the week like they did in the book of Acts to celebrate the resurrection. Amen. So that's Easter, celebrating the resurrection. The world does it once a year. We do it every week. Amen. But Easter and all the rest of them have got roots in paganism and Catholicism. I understand that. But the truth is that Halloween is different from any other of these holidays in that it is direct demonic influence and promotion. It's witchcraft promotion. It's Satanism promotion. And it's very direct and it's very in your face. And I want to expose some of that to you tonight and hopefully be a blessing, be a help to you. Maybe you learned some things you didn't know before. Again, Thanksgiving is the only holiday in America that has got purely Christian backgrounds and roots. It's not rooted in Catholicism. It's not rooted in any type of paganism. Our first president, George Washington, declared a day of Thanksgiving, and he did it for all of us to set aside a day to thank God for how He's blessed our nation. And it's interesting how that one holiday is the purest Christian holiday we have, and yet it is the most pushed aside and forgotten by the world and by the media than any other holiday. I see the devil in that, don't you? Amen. Just like anything else that's purely Christian, it's going to be flossed over and glossed over by the world. And so anyways, the fingerprints of Satan, Christians, and Halloween. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 20. You've got your place there, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. I gave you these references in reverse so that we would start, you know, where we're at. So anyways, 1 Corinthians 10, look in verse number 20. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, a very carnal church, and says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to," what's that next word? Devils. "They sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with" who? Devils. He says, church, I would that you don't fellowship with devils. He says, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of" who? Devils. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils at the same time. He says, "Ye cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils." All right? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible has a lot to say about this topic. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, look in verse number 14. Paul, again, the second letter he wrote to that carnal church in Corinth, he says in verse 14, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" Belial, that's the things of the devil, okay? He says, "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Pretty clear verse, pretty clear passage. We're not to fellowship light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness. And we've really come to a day where we see such a mixing of the two. I mean, the world is really trying, the church is trying to find that gray area between us where we can mix the two. And that's why churches have Halloween parties and Super Bowl parties and everything else. Mixing light and darkness, okay? Now flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, again Paul, Apostle Paul is writing, and he's writing to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, and he says in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times there shall come, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Doctrines of devils. All right? Revelation 9, verse number 20. Last verse we're going to read. Revelation 9, verse 20. Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos writing concerning the last days, and he says in Revelation 9, verse 20, "Now all the judgment of God's been poured out on the world, and he's showing us the attitude of mankind after God has judged them and poured his wrath out." Now,
lot of people, I've heard some people talk about, well, if, you know, debating over whether or not if a man went to hell and experienced hell and then came back to earth, would that man, after experiencing hell, would he repent and serve God? Well, the answer is no. Because Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 is after God has poured His wrath out on this world. And look at man's attitude. It says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship" who? "Devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." So even in the last days, after God's judged the world, judged the earth, man will still not, he will still not repent of worshiping devils. Amen. Won't you pray with us? God will help us with this message tonight. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing it is to be in the house of God. And Lord, I thank You for a Bible tonight. And I thank You for truth. And I thank You for all of us that You've brought here to the house of God, Lord, to hear truth tonight. And Lord, we may not be, Lord, running the aisles and shouting. And Lord, it may not be all stirred up. And Lord, it may not be, Lord, that kind of service. But Lord, if we get truth, Lord, we are blessed beyond measure. And Lord, we know that the heated truth of the Word of God brings out blessings in our life. And Lord, I know beyond, but with all my heart, Lord, that You want to bless us. And Lord, You want to help us. And Lord, I pray that You would tonight. I pray that You would give us spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us hearts of meekness and receptive hearts. And Lord, I pray that You would break up the fallow ground of our soul. Lord, that as the seed of the Word of God is sown, that it would find good ground in the hearts of Your people, and it would take root, bring forth fruit in our lives, and, Lord, even fruit unto righteousness. Father, I pray for that lost soul that might be here tonight that is lost and undone without God, that You would show them their lost condition, the hell they're going to, the judgment they're under, the condemnation they're under, Lord, because they've sinned against the holy God. Lord, I pray that You'd reveal those things to them and, Lord, give them a clear vision of Calvary, a clear vision of the Savior. And, Lord, they might cry out to Him before it's eternally too late. But, Lord, I pray that You'd bless us, give us exactly what we need from Your Word, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to understand tonight, as we preach this message, this is coming out of a heart of love and compassion and concern for anybody and everybody that would hear it. I've never preached intentionally to be mean or smart aleck or ugly. I think there are some preachers that do that. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes you go to some meetings and it's like a contest to see who can be the meanest, you know. And I want to never preach with that attitude, and I want you to understand that. I know that there are some things that we'll deal with tonight that some people here maybe you've never heard in all your life, and you had no idea any of those things were here, and you've participated in Halloween, and for a lot of people, a holiday like Halloween is just good, clean, innocent fun. They look at it and they say, "Well, Brother Jacob, man, it's just fun, and we're just, you know, they just dress up, and the kids just get candy, and you know, people just get together and have a good time, and all those things." And I understand that. I understand that from a certain perspective, you can look at it and it can be viewed in that way. But that's the reason I've titled this message the way I've titled it. I've titled it "The Fingerprints of Satan: Christians and Halloween." Because whenever you start digging into it, you start really looking at it and getting beyond the surface, you'll find out what investigators find out when a crime is committed. You'll start finding the fingerprints. When a crime's committed, they go to looking for fingerprints because fingerprints identify the felon or identify the perpetrator. And if they can find those fingerprints, it'll leave those traces. And maybe the felon or maybe the convict or whatever isn't there. The one that committed the crime isn't there at the time. You don't see them present at the time, but you can find their fingerprints where they have dabbled and where they've been there, where they've committed these things, where they've done these things in the dark, in the corner where nobody saw them and nobody knew what was going on. But you'll find the traces. You'll find their fingerprints where they were working the whole time. And I believe with like many other things, I believe Halloween is one of those things that if you go to searching, you go to digging, you look below the surface and look beyond what the world calls good, clean fun, you'll find the fingerprints of Satan, where he's been there and he's been working and he's been moving all the time. And these things were done in the dark and they were done behind closed doors, and he did it in secret. That's the way he works, you know. He doesn't come out bold and defiant in this, you know, red suit with a tail and a pitchfork and horns. That is not at all the way the devil works. He is an angel of light. And he transforms himself into an angel of light, transforms his workers into angels of light. And if he were to walk in this church right here tonight, he'd be carrying a King James Bible, wearing a suit with a good clean-cut haircut. Amen. He's not going to walk in with horns and a pitchfork and all these things. He's going to come in under the radar. He's going to transform himself into an angel of light. And you're going to say about him, boy, he's a nice guy. And that's the way he works. But then he'll start sowing these thoughts into your mind and sowing these things, sowing these seeds of doubt and sowing these things into your mind to get you questioning really what the Bible says and what the preacher says and what we've believed all these years, and get you thinking. See, that's the way he worked in the Garden of Eden. That serpent beguiled Eve, and that serpent was probably the most beautiful creation that God had created at that time. Probably was. Probably a beautiful, probably looked nothing like the snakes that we see today crawling on their belly. See, God judged them, and that's why they crawl on their belly. And that's why they're so reviled by us now, because God cursed them in the Garden of Eden. Because the devil came to Eve in the form of a serpent, in the form of something beautiful, and presented itself to her and started sowing those seeds of doubt. Yea, hath God said? And that's how he works. And I believe when you look at this thing of Halloween, you'll see the fingerprints of Satan all over it. Amen. All right. So Halloween. Just looking at some of the origins, looking at where it comes from. I know that, again, most holidays have got some form of pagan or Catholic background, but Halloween is just a little different. It's what is known as, the origin of it is, it's the eve of All Saints' Day. All Saints Day is a Roman Catholic festival that takes place on November 1st. And so the eve of that is October 31st. And for years it was celebrated as the eve of All Saints Day. And it comes from a pagan festival from the Druids. And I want you to understand, whenever I say Druids, the Druids are the original Satanists from over in Scotland and Ireland. They call them Druids, but what they are is they are Satanists. They are devil worshipers, okay? Spirit worshipers. And it was a pagan festival from the Druids of Ireland and England and Scotland. And what would happen is these satanic priests, they practiced animal and human sacrifices and did all these perverted and weird things. And what they would do is they'd had a special day of feast and festival called Samhain. Samhain is the way it's pronounced. Now, if you read it or want to write it down, it's spelled Samhain. So it looks like it says Samhain. It is pronounced Samhain, okay? And these Druids, it was a special high holy day for these devil worshipers. They, again, would do these animal sacrifices, even human sacrifices, and they would worship this God, I guess, if you will, that they referred to as Samhain. You say, who is Samhain? Samhain is who they call the Lord of the Dead. Okay? It's where the depiction of the Grim Reaper comes from. The Grim Reaper in the dark cloak, and you can't see his face, it's dark in there, and he holds the sickle, you know, and it's the Grim Reaper, it's the one who takes the souls of the dead and all that creepy, spooky, weird stuff, you know. That is where that depiction of that came from, Samhain, the Lord of the Dead, and it has its roots in with these Druids and all this paganism, okay? And they worship the Lord of the Dead on this day. They consider October 31st, now I'm talking about the roots, before there ever was a Halloween, okay? They considered October 31st to be Satan's birthday. All right? So we celebrate the birth of Christ, the birth of Jesus, his birthday, so to speak, on December 25th. We know that day is not his birthday. That's just whenever we kind of, you know, set a day aside to kind of just remember and think about it. That's when the world does it anyways. Well, these guys are the same way, except instead of worshiping or instead of thinking and looking back to the birth of Christ, they look to Satan's birthday. because they worship Satan. And they considered October 31st to be his birthday. And so Satanists, witches, and covens, they all would have special services on October 31st. Okay? It's now known as Halloween. There's 8 different festivals observed by witches and occult leaders around the world. There's 8 different major festivals. But Halloween is the most important to all of them. It is their high holy day. All year, we see, after the first of the year, we'll be building up and getting amped up for Bible conference, right? We'll be getting the buildings ready, and we'll be praying, and we'll be doing all the things that we do to get ready for Bible conference. That's kind of, you know, kind of, in a sense, that's kind of the pinnacle of our year, in a way. That's the big meeting that we do. For Satanists, witches, and occultists, it's October 31st, okay? That's their high, that's what they look forward to every year. And November 1st is considered the hallowed day. The hallowed day is what they call it. And that's where the name Halloween comes from. There's Hallowed Day on November 1st. October 31st is Hallowed Eve, Halloween. Okay? And so it is the Hallowed Even, or the Hallowed Eve. It's the evening before All Saints Day. And you say, but let's say you talk about Catholicism, you talk about paganism. Well, this is what happened. You say the two are different. Well, not as different as you think. What happened was the Roman Catholics took Samhain, this pagan satanic festival, and they Christianized it, okay? That's how Catholicism has spread so much all over the world. Whenever they would go in and they would really conquer a nation or conquer an area by force, really, they would take the sword, and then they would take a Bible or whatever, and they would hold a sword out, and they would, in essence, they would say, "My Lord or the sword," basically. Either you accept this, or, you know, and that's why Catholicism is, Mexico is so steeped in Catholicism. That's why, you know, so many, like, Central American countries are also steeped in Catholicism. Brazil, a lot of Catholicism in Brazil, and just all over the world, you'll find these pockets of places and countries that are so steeped in Catholicism, because throughout history, the Catholics would go in and conquer by force and shed blood and really force it upon them. But what they would do a lot of time is, to make it a little more palatable to these people, is they would take their current paganistic rituals and beliefs and all these things, and they would blend the two together, okay? They would Christianize those things to help bring all these people in. Really, it's the same thing that the church is trying to do with the world now, where the church is trying to dumb down Christianity and dumb down the Bible and make everything a lot less formal, and, you know, bring in the praise teams and the praise bands and the light shows and all that stuff. It's the same thing the Catholics have done. It's becoming like the world that you're trying to reach them. They just became like the paganistic, you know, cultures to reach them. And that's the way they brought them all in. And so they took this pagan festival and they Christianized it, so to speak. And they did it when they took over all these nations. And instead of breaking from paganism, what they did was they accepted it and they adopted it. That's why you have so many bizarre beliefs in Catholicism now. Because through the years, so many strange things have been adopted by way of incorporating groups of people to include them in the Catholic Church. That's why you have all these weird things that don't even come close to Scripture. I mean, it's just so bizarre. And so that's why Halloween is the night before All Saints Day. Okay? So you got October 31st, that's considered by Satanists and occult leaders as Satan's birthday. And then you've got November 1st is All Saints Day for the Catholics. They just kind of blended the two together. And now you've got Halloween is Hallowed Eve, and then you've got the Hallowed Day on November 1st, All Saints Day, okay? And so it's got a lot of mixture of the two. Catholicism introduced hallowing and praying for the dead from their interpretations of the book of Maccabees and endeavored to absorb pagan practices, all right? You don't find lighting candles and praying for the dead in the King James Bible. You do not find it, but Catholics do it all the time. They light candles, they pray for the dead. You don't find purgatory in the Bible. You don't find any of that stuff in the Bible. But that stuff has been introduced to Catholicism to be able to bring in all these pagan religions. All right? Now, a little more history. Witches, by the way, there's going to be this stuff going on in our area. Just so you know, this stuff is going to be going on October 31st. All right, and we'll deal with some of that more in a minute. But witches meet in groups called covens. Call them a coven. And what they try to get is 13 of them. A coven is a group of 13 witches. And that's the official number of a coven. That's why the number 13 is considered to be unlucky. Because that is the official number of a coven. The number 13 doesn't bother me one bit. I'll spend a week on the 13th floor of a hotel and not bother me. I don't care. I've got the Lord. Amen. I'm not looking at luck and unluck and all these things. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Someone tells me good luck, I say I don't believe in luck. Amen. But that's why the number 13 is considered unlucky by the world. It has its roots in witchcraft because that's the official number of a coven. And when they meet in these covens, they will sacrifice cats, dogs, other animals. But Halloween is a special high holy day, so they try to do a human sacrifice on Halloween. If they can get their hands on a victim, I guess, they will do a human sacrifice. What a lot of them do, this is how weird and bizarre, perverted all this stuff is. They will have women in these covens that actually, they'll call it breeding them. And they'll have children just that they will unregister, you know, and there's no trace that this child's ever been born. And they'll have this child to use for the sole purpose of doing a human sacrifice. That's how wicked and perverted all this stuff is. All right? And by the way, you're going to see a lot of this in the world's music and promoted on TV and all this other stuff too. We'll get into some of that in just a minute. But they try to do a human sacrifice on Halloween. And there's really a book you could read called The Dark Side of Halloween if you wanted to read some more into it. But anyways, again, it all gets back to Samhain, that picture of the Grim Reaper and all that. But my question is, you know, they're celebrating Satan, it's his birthday. Satan, they're celebrating the Lord of Death, the God of Death, and celebrating all this death and all this darkness. My question to us tonight is, why in the world would any Christian, or why would any Christian want to be involved in the celebration of the Lord of Death and death? Hey, we're celebrating life. We're celebrating light. We're celebrating truth. We're celebrating the resurrection, not death. We're celebrating the resurrection, celebrating life that's been given us. Why in the world, whenever that is the sole basis and the sole foundation of this holiday, Halloween, why would we want to be involved in the celebration in the Lord of Death and in death? If you drive around your neighborhood, you're going to find death everywhere in the next week. That's what it's all about. It's all about promoting death. You say, Brother Jacob, some of these facts, I don't believe them, and whatever. That's fine. Do your own research. That's fine with me. I don't care. But even all these facts set aside, if none of this were true, you just look around. Just look around, and it will be death and violence and spiritism everywhere. Okay? Ghouls and ghosts and goblins and devils and demons and skulls and skeletons and violence and blood and all this stuff. And my question is, why would we as a Christian want to involve ourselves with promoting death and violence and darkness and all these things that have such a wicked foundation in all of this? So again, you find so much death in Halloween. Now today, as I sit and preach this tonight, the Druids, these original Satanists, they are still operating in England, Scotland, you know, all over the UK. They are still operating. They're still doing their satanic practices. Matter of fact, if you go, you can go online tonight and you can look up Stonehenge, England. That's like Mecca for these Druids, you know, where they've got the weird stones stacked on top of each other. I just read, in kind of reviewing and getting myself ready to preach this, I read an article from August of last year with the excavating that they have done around the Stonehenge in England and all the human remains they have found there. from modern times to thousands of years ago. All the human remains. You want to know why? The human sacrifice that's been done there. The article I was reading was talking about the human remains that they found that weren't of people, and I don't know how they found this out, but that's just what the article said. They found human remains of people dated years and years ago, like ancient remains, and the people weren't even from the UK. Somehow they figured out that these people, these remains, the people were actually from Wales. They were Welsh people. And so I'm just saying, this stuff is still going on. It's still going. It's very serious. It's not a joke. It's not something to play with. We do not war against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We are in a spiritual battle. Amen. And I want to keep it balanced in this thing. I'm not going to start spirit hunting and devil hunting. You can get way off in that stuff. What I think we should do is stay as far away from it as possible. Amen. And I think part of that is staying away from Halloween. Amen. It's a lot more than just good, clean fun. There's a lot more devil there. The devil's fingerprints are all over it, okay? And so they steal meat from their sacrifices there. They consider the Stonehenge to be the seat of Satanism, sacrifices, and satanic operations. They consider that to be Stonehenge, England, and it's still there, and they still do all this stuff there, all this weird, bizarre stuff. And so I don't know about you, but as a born-again believer, as a child of God that's been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light, had the light of the glorious gospel shed into my heart, had the love of God, you know, put into my heart and in my life to be quickened and made alive, I personally don't want to celebrate death and the Lord of death, and I sure don't want to celebrate the devil's birthday. And that's what they consider it. That's where it's founded. Now, if you don't believe that all this stuff is still going on, let me just give you a few symbols of these druids and the satanic culture, okay? I don't have pictures of any of these things, but you can certainly find them. Very common stuff. One of the symbols of Satanism and the druid culture and all this stuff, number one of them is the goat's head. You'll find the goat's head, okay? The Lord said He was going to separate the goats from the sheep, amen? Kind of ironic, they used the goat's head. But that is one of the symbols. Another symbol is, of course, there's the pentagram, which is the upside-down star with a circle around it. That is a pentagram. Sometimes you will find a pentagram with a goat's head in it. They use the upside-down star because the two legs of the star come out on top, and then one down on the bottom, and then two more down this side. So it's like the horns of the goat up here, the beards of the goat down here, and then, you know, like the kind of the goatee of the goat coming down the center. So it's the upside-down star looks like a goat head. And sometimes you'll see a pentagram, an upside-down star with a circle around it, with a goat head in it. It's a symbol of Satanism and you know, druid culture and all those things. Another one is lightning bolts. I don't know if you remember, big band back in the 80s, they had they kind of got popular about the mid-2000s again. Band called AC/DC. Part of their symbol in AC/DC was two lightning bolts. Okay? Two lightning bolts. What about Adolf Hitler and the SS? His SS guard? The S's were two lightning bolts. And that is a symbol of Satanism. I don't know if Adolf Hitler intentionally used that or not. You know, I don't know if he actually thought about it, but it does show me one thing. The devil was leading him. The devil was leading him. That is the only way that somebody would intentionally use this stuff and go this route. I want to stay as far from it as I can. Amen. I mean, all over you see these lightning bolts, you know. And I tell you what, a lot of this stuff, you see it a lot in music and mainstream stuff. I tell you what a lot of it is. It is desensitizing the general public to the things of the devil. I'm going to deal with this more in a little bit, but that's what Halloween is all about. It is desensitized, and the devil would love nothing more than for you to involve your young, impressionable children and get your family involved in things that are going to desensitize you to violence and blood and gore and death and darkness and suicide and homicide and devil worship and spirit. He would love nothing more than those things. I'll deal with that a little bit more in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. But you ever notice on Harry Potter's forehead, there's a lightning bolt in some of the pictures and some of the depictions? There's a lightning bolt on his forehead. You ever wondered why, and some of you probably don't know, so you don't wonder why, but Harry Potter, when the book came out, it was sold after midnight. They waited till after midnight to release the book. And people were going crazy. They're all lined up at the bookstores, and they're waiting for it to come out and be released so they can all get their hands on their copy, you know. You ever, now that you know that, it was sold after midnight, now that you know that, you wonder why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the midnight hour, Harry Potter's a wizard, which is a male witch, and the midnight hour is a sacred hour of Satanists and witches. The midnight hour, from midnight to 1 o'clock. That is a sacred hour. And they waited till midnight to release the book. Again, a wizard is a male witch. You know, historically, it's interesting that in like old fables and old stories, you think about like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves and things like that. Historically, the good guys have never been witches and wizards. In the children's stories from years gone by, the good guys were not wizards and witches. They were the bad guys. But now what we see today is an inversion of right, where the devil has taken what is bad and made it good, and taken what is good and made it bad, and he's twisted it on its head, and so now the wizards are the good guys. The pirates are the good guys. The pirates were never the good guys in the old days. They were the bad guys. In Peter Pan, in Neverland, they were fighting against the pirates. But now you got Pirates of the Caribbean and all these things, and I tell you what it's doing. It's inverting right. And it's making, you really think about this, really think, this is just kind of a side note, but think about how wicked and evil real pirates were and even are today. I mean, they rape and they murder and they steal and all these things, but Hollywood has inverted it and turned the wrong into right. The Bible says something about that. The Bible says, woe unto them that make good evil and evil good. See, the Bible has something to say about all this stuff. Amen. And so it's an inversion of right. The devil's wanting to desensitize you, get you used to it, make it where it's not so bad and not so repulsive to see. That's why the movies and TV shows today are so much more violent and so much more gory and so much more just, you know, repulsive today than they were years ago, because 10 years ago, that stuff doesn't affect us anymore. It doesn't affect people anymore because they've seen it before. It's not a big deal. And it's the devil desensitizing. Another sign is the 666. You know that. That's the sign of the devil. Or FFF. F is the sixth letter in the alphabet, and so they'll either use 666 or FFF. It's one of the signs of Satanists and, you know, druids. And so there's another one called, there's the three circles. This one, if you were to look it up, this one, I wish I had a picture. This one is actually on the cover of the New King James Bible. They use this symbol. It's like a triangle, and it's made up of three circles, and they're all in like this continuous loop. And if you look, if you were to look up, you know, satanic symbol on New King James Bible, you will find it on the Bible. Praise God for a King James Bible, not a New King James Bible. Amen. And so for three circles, it's a symbolism of Satanism and the occult. Also, again, the pentagram, I mentioned that. There's the salute to Satan. Okay? The salute to Satan is going to be something like this, or it's going to be something like this. Okay? It'll always be three fingers down, two fingers up. All right? I don't know if this is true or not. I've had it explained to me, though, that what that is supposed to mean is supposed to symbolize God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit bowing to the devil and the Antichrist. And I don't know if that's true or not. That's the way it's been explained to me, though. They're bowing to the devil, to the Satan, Lucifer, and the Antichrist. And so that's the satanic salute. Also, you'll see the inverted cross is another one of these symbols. You say, Brother Jake, why are you telling this? I'm telling you this because whenever you start looking for it and you know what this stuff is, you'll see it all over everywhere that is mainstream today. It is, the music today is immersed in this stuff. Let me ask you something. Why would some thug from the ghetto who knows nothing about spiritual things, you know, I mean, except for maybe what he's heard through pop culture or whatever, never read a King James Bible cover to cover in his life, But yet, why would he or some rock star or whatever, why would they bring in so much spiritual things into their music? I mean, I'm not telling you to do this, but I'm just saying, I was big into hard rock music before I was saved, and I listened to AC/DC and Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue and all these wicked bands from the 80s and 90s. I listened to all that stuff. And I'm telling you, these signs and spiritual things, it is all through all of it. They sing about it, and the question to me is, these people don't care anything about spiritual things. Why would they bring this in their music? I'll tell you why. It is spiritual influence. And I know we're talking about Halloween tonight, but I want you to understand that the Lord's really been dealing my heart about this music thing. I'm going to preach a message on music here soon. That's coming soon. Music is a very strong thing. You need to be very careful the music you listen to and expose yourself to, the music you expose your children to, Kaylee and Kelby, teenagers. You need to be very careful the friends you run around with and the music you let them expose you to, because I am telling you, that will put thoughts in your mind, and the devil will use that stuff in ways that you are not even conscious of. It will put rebellion in your heart and hatred in your heart and anger in your heart. It is amazing all the things that can be done with a crowd and music. It is amazing. Because I'm telling you, it is a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing. There were times whenever Saul would have spirits come upon him. And they would call for David to come and play his harp. And whenever he would play the music, the right kind of music, those evil spirits would depart. On the flip side, the wrong kind of music invites them in. You say, Brother Jack, I think you're absolutely crazy. That's fine with me. You believe what you want to. You're perfectly fine to be wrong. I am telling you, it is absolutely 100% spiritual. Country music the same way. It's all the same way. If it promotes ungodliness and immorality and adultery and drug abuse and alcohol and all the things that are ungodly, if it mixes churches and bars and all that stuff, I'm telling you, the devil is all over it. He's all over it. I was in a store a while back, and there was a country music song playing. The name of the country music song was Bars and Churches. And the guy was singing about bars and churches. Wonder why most of our churches look like honky-tonks now. Exactly. I'm telling you, it is affecting our culture. And I'm not saying this to be mean or anybody. I'm trying to warn you and help you. That stuff affected me whenever I was that age. It affected me. It caused me to think certain ways and have certain thought processes that I never would have had I have not been listening to that music and been subjecting myself to it. But praise the Lord, now I am washed. I've had the washing of water by the Word. What will wash your mind and cleanse your mind is good Holy Ghost Spirit-filled preaching and Bible reading, amen, getting in this Word. And good Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Bible truth-filled music will do it for you. All those things will do it. I'll give you a perfect example of the control, the devil, the spiritual control that music has. All of us know what it is to get a little tune in our head and can't get it out. We all know what that is. There's a real harmless sounding song from, I guess, probably back in the 70s. And I hate to even mention this stuff because I know a lot of you have heard it and it's going to cause you to kind of think it and run the tune through your head. And I don't know. I hate to do that. But, I mean, I know some preachers that preach on music and they play it while they're, you know, saying that's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Okay? But there's a really innocent sounding song from probably back in the 70s, I guess, called Afternoon Delight. Anybody ever heard the song? Nobody? Well, praise God. What a blessing. Don't go home and listen to it. All right? It's got a real catchy, innocent sounding beat, innocent sounding tune, and the whole song just sounds real catchy and innocent. I mean, you know. But you know what it's actually talking about? It's actually talking about fornicating and committing adultery in the afternoon. But it's got a real catchy tune. And if you let your child hear it, your child will be walking around singing it. Because that stuff gets in their head. It's easy to listen. Listen, it's hard for me to remember Scripture, but I can't hardly get every wicked song I've ever heard out of my mind. I mean, I hear it, and before I know it, I'll be tapping my foot, and I'll be singing it. That's how the devil works. And so I'm just telling you, see, he uses that stuff, a catchy tune, gets in your head, and before long you're singing it and don't even realize what you're saying, what you're promoting. And I'm just saying that if you know what these symbols are and you're looking for it, you'll see the devil's fingerprints all over Halloween, all over the music of our day, all over pop culture. You'll see it over all over them. Jay-Z is a super popular rap artist of our day, and he promotes this stuff all the time. All the time. Satanic symbols and Satanism and all that stuff. They, matter of fact, they say the majority of popular musicians, and they call them artists nowadays, the majority of them are involved in this very, very deeply. And they call them artists, but as untalented as most of them are, the devil's got to be behind how popular they are. Because most of them can't sing a lick today. The devil's got to be behind that promotion. Got to be. And so the Druids, again, these are the early priests. I got to get back on track. We got to hurry. They're the early priests of Satan and Satanism in Ireland, Scotland, and England. And there's nine signs. They say that there are nine signs of satanic interest in young people. You need to watch for this in your young people. And young people and parents, you need to watch for these in other young people. If you see these in somebody's life, you know, you need to stay away. Stay away. Nine signs. Number one, posters of satanic symbols or with satanic symbols on them. And if they've got a poster of a modern rock group, it's probably going to have a satanic symbol on it. And so posters of satanic symbols. Notebooks with satanic symbols. Ritualistic items like knives, bones, silver chalices, and silver pentagrams. If they're called by a different name. Satanists and witches are real big on giving each other different names from their actual names. Okay? And not just nicknames, but it's a different name. Number five, occult videos, literature, music, satanic Bible, which is called the Book of the Law. It's written by Anton LaVey. And then any book by a man by the name of Anton LaVey or Aleister Crowley. Any material by them, it's a sure sign this person is dabbling in this stuff. Aleister Crowley is known as the father of Satanism in Europe. Anton LaVey is the founder of the Church of Satan in the United States. Okay? Aleister Crowley is pictured on the cover of the Beatles album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band. He is on the cover of it. They were deeply involved in Satanism. Also, the Rolling Stones were deeply involved in Satanism. Most of the music today is deeply rooted in it. Okay? I'm just saying so you know. And so anything by Anton LaVey, Aleister Crowley. A book called The Book of Sabbaths. Number seven, cuts, marks, tattoos, brands on the body. All this self-mutilation and all this body piercing and tattooing that's really gotten popular in our society today. It's popular and it's accepted by our society today, but it's rooted in paganism and Satanism. And we, by the way, they again, it's just like the Catholic Church taking this stuff and Christianizing it. They've taken this stuff and Christianized it to where now it's Christian tattoos. And, you know, Christian body piercings and Christian things. But it's rooted in paganism, and what they've tried to do is bring it in and Christianize all of it. And I'm not being hard on it because there's multiple people here tonight that have got tattoos and have had body piercings at one time or another. I'm not being hard on anybody. But see, used to an old sailor that was all tattooed up from head to toe, would get saved, and then the next time he was in church, he'd have a long-sleeve shirt on covering his tattoos because he didn't want the world to see how wicked he used to be. But now, it's Christian tattoos. It's Christian, you know, get a fish tattoo behind my ear or whatever, and it's promoted, and now that most of the preachers got them, and, you know, and they show everybody with them while they wear a tank top and flip-flops, you know, while they preach. And so, you know, I'm just trying to help you expose these things. God is not in this stuff, and we as God's people should stay far away from it. If we're going to have a testimony, if we're going to reach the world, all this mutilation, cutting themselves, that got real popular back in the early 2000s. People get so emotionally overwhelmed that they start cutting themselves. We're not seeing all these things. Listen to me. We're not seeing all these things happen as a result of our society and America getting more godly and more spiritual. I mean, all these things are getting popular. And all these things are getting mainstream, and they're getting accepted. And if, you know, if somebody doesn't preach it, then people don't know any different. I've got to preach this stuff so that your children, your grandchildren, they know what is common and they know what's right. Else they'll go down that path and they won't know any different. They won't know what's wrong. They won't know how to get it right. But see, all this stuff is coming, becoming common and mainstream and just accepted like it's normal. But it's not a result of America getting more spiritual and godly. It's a result of us getting more unspiritual and more ungodly and more wicked. And it's a result of the church, instead of being separate from the world, like we read in Corinthians, trying to get down in the mud hole with the world to reach the world and Christianize all these things, just like Catholicism did with Halloween. And that's why most places that have church on the sign have really bizarre, weird stuff going on in there. Because how much things have changed to try to reach the world. So that's a sign. One of the 9 signs of satanic interest in young people, number 7, is cuts, marks, tattoos, brands on the body, and body piercings. Number 8 is obsessions with fantasy, like games, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and, you know, Harry Potter and all this stuff. A lot of folks view the Harry Potter thing as innocent and those things, but I tell you what it is a precursor. It's like a gateway drug, they call it. Gateway drug gets you started, so you move on to something else. Harry Potter gets them started, so they move in a little deeper. Okay? And then number 9 would be the evidence of animal torture or sacrifice. Interesting how you see so many of these things by people that don't claim to dabble in Satanism, but yet you see these things so prominent in our society. You know what's happened? The devil has successfully desensitized to us to these things so that they're commonplace now. And I believe he's really happy about it. There's something wrong. Somebody may not be a devil worshiper and torture an animal intentionally, but there's something wrong with that person. They're headed that way. There's something bad wrong with somebody that would want to intentionally inflict pain, you know, on an animal or, you know, things like, there's just something wrong. There's something wrong there. And the same goes with all these other things. Either they've never been taught, never heard it preached, never been exposed to it, or there's just something bad wrong. Bonfires will take place on Halloween. A lot of bonfires. They'll have a lot of bonfires. Bonfires, the word bonfire is actually derived from the word bone fire. And bone fire is what druids and Satanists would use to sacrifice human beings on Halloween. And what they would do is they'd put these bodies, these victims, in the fire, and they would watch as it burned. And depending on how the bones and the body would burn and wisp and writhe and move around in that fire, they would watch that and they would use that to supposedly predict the future. And so it gets back to that word bone fire, and they call it a bonfire now. Now, I'm going to give you these last things very quickly, and we'll be done. I'm not going to get close to finishing this, but 5 reasons. I've given you a lot of history. 5 reasons why there is harm in Halloween. Okay? Number 1, in Halloween, many people who never would be otherwise are exposed to witchcraft and occultic practices. Things like seances, Ouija boards, you know, fortune telling. I remember whenever I was a senior in high school, we were having a senior party at a friend's house, and I don't know, Taylor may remember this, I don't know, but it was a senior Halloween party, and they had a so-called fortune teller there. Did they have that at yours too? Maybe not, I don't know. Okay, well anyways, they did at mine. Bunch of people, I never went in there, because even as a lost man, I knew better. I knew this is not something I should get involved in. But I think the whole thing was maybe just a joke. I've heard some talk about like having parties, you know, and things going on at school, and they'll have these folks that come in and do these the hypnotizing, hypnotists. I'm telling you, that stuff is spiritual. You need to stay away from that mess. That is exposing you to occultic practices and witchcraft. And that's how it happens. So number 1, many are exposed to witchcraft and occultic practice. Number 2 it is an acceptable opportunity for witches and Satanists to promote pagan beliefs. Okay? And the funny thing is that churches and Christians are involved in it now because now it's acceptable. But it is an acceptable opportunity for them to promote this stuff into our society and into Christians and churches when it never would be otherwise. But because it's acceptable now and the church has embraced it, it gives them an opportunity. Okay? Number three, children and adults are conditioned to accept occult and pagan practices and are desensitized to the violence, death, and wickedness associated with it. Okay? That's how we've got now because of the generations that have gotten by that have slowly been desensitized to it. Okay? I remember the day when it was just common that churches did not participate in Halloween. I mean, I'm not even that old. I mean, through the 90s, there wasn't no church I knew of that participated in Halloween. They all preached against it. None of the parents let their kids go out and trick-or-treat. And all, I mean, we stayed, growing up, buddy, we stayed away from it. And that was common now. But see, a few generations have gone by where slowly it's crept in and slowly people have been desensitized. And now, again, it's not coming because we've gotten more spiritual. I mean, you look, there's more violence and death and all that stuff. You look at suicide rates in America. Suicide rates are through the roof. Through the roof. There are more people committing suicide in America than there ever has been. But they say things are getting better. They're not getting better. Bringing in Halloween and embracing all that stuff ain't making things better. And I'm not saying that's the only reason. I'm saying it's part of it. It's affecting us. It, along with all these other things, it's affecting us, desensitizing us. Most of you will recognize the name Jeffrey Dahmer, and most of you will recognize the name Ted Bundy. Two of the most notorious serial killers in American history. Both were heavily involved with the occult. You will not find that in mainstream media. You will not find that in articles. You will not find that very easily because the media and the world sweeps it under the rug. But I'm here to tell you, the devil is real. He is real. That's another big thing, too. Don't let me get off on that tonight. I'm telling you, the devil's real. Okay? Matter of fact, that's where Jeffrey Dahmer started. Ted Bundy, too. Ted Bundy found a pornographic magazine in a dumpster. And that's where it started. He came from a Christian home. I'm telling you, the devil's real. Number four, fear can have detrimental effects on people. Talk about why, five reasons why there's harm in Halloween. Fear can have detrimental effects on people. And the fact that that Halloween is getting worse every year is pretty good evidence for that. Now, it's not harmless little pranks and just fun, you know, little stuff anymore. It's not that anymore. Now, it's vandalism and it's mob mentality, beating people up and robbing and killing and raping. And I mean, you will hear of more crime, you know, this month and on Halloween, there will be a lot of crime, drunkenness and all kinds of stuff. It's not the harmless way. You want to know why? Because fear has effects on people. And it slowly gets worse and worse and worse. We don't have time to turn there, but look sometime at 1 John 4:18. He says, perfect love casteth out fear. Why would we want to be involved in something that brings such fear? Promote fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Amen. So, number five. That's number four. Number five. It provides opportunity to experiment with pagan and occultic activity to see if it works and an excuse to do evil. So, a lot of people that never would otherwise, they'll experiment with things and dabble in things just to see if it works, you know. Just see if this actually works. That's why a lot of kids from the 90s bought Ouija boards. You know, just to see if it works. And it's just good, harmless fun. They need to be careful. They say that Halloween has the highest rate of satanic ritual crimes than any other time of the year. More graveyard decimation on Halloween than any other time of the year. FBI reports that between October 1st and October 31st, that there's more animals, primarily cats and dogs, there's more animal theft than any other time of the year. It's really bizarre, actually. They say they report more animal theft in the month of October than any other time of the year. And it's every year. You tell me this stuff ain't going on. I read about a pastor up in Wisconsin who was hunting way out in the middle of nowhere. And he stumbled across the remains of a bull that had been burned, probably as a sacrifice, inside a circle of rocks in the woods, way out in the woods. He just kind of ran across it. I'm telling you, this stuff's going on. This stuff's real. You better take it seriously. Halloween is the devil's celebration. Where the occult leads its followers. You dabble in this stuff, it's going to lead you somewhere. And this is where it's going to lead you. Number one, idolatry. Number two, immorality. Number three, injury. Again, getting back to the branding, cutting, piercing, tattooing, all these things. Gets back to all that stuff. Injury, bodily injury. Number four, degradation and torture. Now, you tell me that our society hasn't been affected by this when, I'm trying to think of how many years ago, 50 Shades of Grey was the most popular novel in America. And it's all about sexual degradation. All about bondage and all this weird, wicked, perverted stuff. You tell me people ain't been affected by this stuff. It was the number one seller for a long time. They've even got multiple movies of it now. So that you can see it all on the screen, this stuff, this wicked stuff depicted. And think about all the so-called Christian women that are supposed to be members of churches that went together and had ladies' night out and went and saw that wickedness. Read that wickedness. It's the direction that the occult and all this dabbling, it's where it leads people. It's led our society there. Degradation and torture. Number five, insanity. That is warping and twisting of the mind where people don't think straight anymore and you can't get them to think straight. It's like you can't even help them. It begins with dabbling. Number six, suicide. Occultic practices have led many people to commit suicide where voices in their head tell them to kill themselves. They'll leave letters that say, you know, the voices told me to do it, and things like that. Suicide. And then homicide. A lot of occultic practices. You think about, what's his name, old Manson. All that homicide and all that wickedness they did. A lot of occultic practices there. A few lies, witches tell. They'll say, we don't acknowledge the devil. That's a lie. Modern witches, they'll say, practice Wiccan. By the way, if you go to Barnes & Noble in Tupelo, you can find books on the shelf at Barnes & Noble in Tupelo about witchcraft and about Wiccan. You can find spell books. You can find occultic books. They won't hardly sell a King James Bible, but you can find all this stuff on their shelf. You can find easily, okay? They say we practice Wiccan, not worshiping the devil. They say we practice Wiccan, not Satanism, but it's an absolute lie. Number two, they'll say that the upside-down pentagram is satanic, not Wiccan, but it's both. Pentagrams represent both. Witches only do good healing magic, they'll say. That's a lie. It's a lie. They're all involved in black magic and death and all that stuff. They'll say witches don't believe in blood rituals, and that's a lie. They all practice it, okay? Few common witchcraft beliefs. I'll give you these real quick. Common witchcraft beliefs. A lot of them believe in animism. Say, what's animism? Animism is the belief that all objects, rocks, trees, plants, mountains, animals, nature, that they're all alive and they all have a soul. That's what a lot of them believe. There's a common belief of panpsychism. That is the doctrine or belief that everything material, however small, has an element of individual consciousness. It kind of makes it clear why these nuts are out wanting to save the planet, doesn't it? Why they're more interested in saving birds and squirrels and lizards and sea turtles more than they are about valuing human life and ending abortion. Tadpoles and hoot owls and all that stuff. Kind of makes all that clear to you, don't it? Don't tell me we've not been affected by this stuff. The common belief is monism. That is the doctrine that only one supreme being exists. The New Age movement refers to that one supreme being as the One. Now, it's not the God of Israel. It's not the God we believe. They refer to Him as the One. Another one is pantheism. That is, everything is God. God and nature are one, you know. Then there's the belief of polytheism. That is, there's many gods. And then there's the belief of existentialism. That emphasizes the existence of the individual person as a free and responsible agent, determining their own development through acts of the will. That is, I'm free and individual, and I determine my outcome. What's right for me may be wrong for you, but that's fine. Boy, we see a lot of that, don't we? And it's funny that this is all common witchcraft belief. Then there's also relativism. That is, that there's no absolutes. Nothing can be absolute. And by the way, they are indoctrinating your children and your grandchildren with the doctrine of relativism in public schools. They are promoting relativism. That nothing is absolute. There's no absolute truth, no absolute right, no absolute wrong. It's just the way you see it. Relativism. Exactly. Are you absolutely sure you don't see it that way? Well, there's no absolutes. And then last of all, of course, relativism, and then reincarnation. Believe that, you know, people come back, you know, and all that. You understand that. Three ways that they access demonic wisdom. Another one, through divinations. That's fortune telling. The practice of seeking knowledge of the future or the unknown by supernatural means. Divination, fortune telling, all that stuff. Ouija boards, crystal balls, mirrors. Charlie got to be kind of popular a while back. So divinations. Number two, sorcery. That's what they would call magic. Now, witches, they spell magic different. Like Disney spells it M-A-G-I-C. Believe in the magic. They spell it M-A-G-I-C-K. They put an end on the end. But it's the same thing. Same thing. Magic. Sorcery. It's the power of apparently influencing the course of events by using the mysterious supernatural forces. Okay? Revelation 21 deals with sorcerers. A lot of drug use is involved in sorcery. And a lot of drug use opens people up to spiritual control. Only the Lord can get people free of that stuff. Because there is demonic control in it. People cannot pull themselves up by the bootstraps, I don't believe. Most people can't. Most people never get free of it. Y'all remember Charles that stopped by here? Well, we tried to help him. He could not get free of those drugs. He couldn't do it. It is a demonic control that people have. If you've ever been on it, you know. You know. And then number three, spiritism or necromancy. That is the practice of communicating with the dead, especially in order to predict the future. The Bible has a situation with that with Saul, 1 Samuel 28. You can go read about the witch at Endor, where the witch at Endor used spiritism to bring up the spirit of Samuel. And it's a dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. Okay? So, Halloween, I'll give you this and I'm done. Halloween is the most celebrated holiday in the public school system. It's the most celebrated holiday. It's influenced society without people even realizing it is happening. Without even realizing. Just good, clean fun. But I'll give you a quote, and I'm done. Anton LaVey is the author of the Book of the Law, which is the Satanic Bible, and he's the founder of the Church of Satan in America. And he said, and I quote, he said, "I am glad that Christian parents let their children worship the devil at least one night out of the year." That is what the founder of the Church of Satan said. He goes on, you can read, I believe it was an interview he did, and you can go on and read the rest of it. I don't encourage you to, but I've read the rest of it. He goes on to talk about seeing what a joy it brings him to see his children, his personal children, dancing around in pirate costumes and things like that. Real innocent stuff, you see. But see, even he views his own children, he sees them worshiping the devil even when they're wearing innocent costumes like a pirate or something like that. And that's what he said, that he is so glad that Christian parents let their children worship the devil at least one night out of the year. I say we as God's people need to stay as far away from it as we can.
Any of this stuff we see in music, you need to get that stuff out of your house. Get that stuff off your radio. It is affecting you, whether you believe it or not. Any of this stuff, this is why we you know, you're not going to find a TV set up in our house. So, but are you 100% against it? I'm 100% of most of what's on it. We do watch a few things every now and then. Gideon was watching a DVD of Little House on the Prairie today. And every now and then, he'll watch something like that. He'll watch VeggieTales every now and then. Every now and then, he'll watch a little Elmo or something. But I'm against 99% of what's on it. And you'll see this stuff in it. And little by little, the devil has affected us through that stuff. Through music, entertainment, and through the embracing of something like Halloween. And we need to be careful. Let's all stand to our feet. Runners, won't you come? And what number you got there? Number 368. We're going to close with a hymn. I know it's been long tonight. Had a lot of information to give you. But I want us to close with a hymn. And open the altar and give you an opportunity to respond. You may have heard something tonight that you never have heard before in your life. But if you'll receive with meekness and gladness the engrafted word, it will help you. The Bible says it'll make you wise. You say, Brother Jake, I've not heard some of that stuff, and I've been involved in some of it, and I've done some of it, but I want to get right with God. Amen. Tonight's a good opportunity to find yourself on an old-fashioned altar and saying, Lord, I just didn't know. Thank you for giving me a Bible. Thank you for giving me a church that'll be honest and preach the truth. And I want to get right with you. Give that thing to the Lord. And if you will receive it with meekness and gladness, the Bible will say it'll make you wise. And wise unto salvation, the Bible even says. It'll help you, and the Lord will bless you for it. So you do what the Lord have you to do while we sing tonight.